I'd like to welcome you all to the October term of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is David Arterburn. I'm pleased to be joined on the panel this month by Judge Rico Bishop on my left and Judge Francie Reedman on my right. We have four cases that are before the court today, and we will have some appearing by WebEx and some that are appearing in person. If you are here in person, we ask that you leave your mask on until such time as you come to the podium to argue your case. You can then remove your mask in order to make your argument. I would remind everyone that there is sensitive, or if there is sensitive information that you have that's part of your argument, that you want to consider the fact that these arguments are live streamed and available to the public. And so we just want you to take that into account with respect to any arguments that you may have to make. Our first case today is Alliance Group versus NGC Group. And the parties may approach, and the appellant may approach the podium. Again, this is Alliance Group versus NGC Group. Counsel, I believe it's Mr. Frazier, is that correct?
Yes, Judge.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the court. Counsel. My name is Greg Frazier, and I represent the appellant, NGC Group, Inc. This matter is before the court on appeal from a decision by the District Court of Douglas County in favor of the Alliance Group, Inc. against NGC Group, Inc. based upon an oral guarantee of certain sums owed by ACAS Systems, LLC to Alliance. NGC Group is a Nebraska corporation owned by Justin Hernandez. DIV Investments, LLC is a Nebraska limited liability company also owned by Mr. Hernandez. ACAS Systems, LLC was a Nebraska limited liability company primarily in the business of constructing stages for musical touring acts. Alliance Group, Inc., the plaintiff in this matter, is a payroll service provider, which entered into a services agreement with ACAS Systems in order to provide payroll and related services to ACAS. Pursuant to that payroll services agreement, Alliance provided the services and ACAS agreed to pay Alliance and also to reimburse Alliance for any sums expended by Alliance for payroll and related services. Throughout 2017 and 2018, DIV made loans to ACAS, which in part funded payroll services that ACAS needed to fund. DIV's loans to ACAS were facilitated in part by loans which DIV received from NGC. It's important to note that NGC did not make any loans directly to ACAS, nor did NGC at any point invest or have other equity relationship with ACAS.
But didn't NGC / Mr. Hernandez offer up his own credit card for ACAS to use?
In certain limited circumstances, Judge, yes. And not Mr. Hernandez's personal credit card, but a credit card in the name of NGC was used to fund certain items, not payroll, but certain items that needed to be funded on an expedient basis for ACAS. Now, in each circumstance, that expenditure of funds was documented as a loan from NGC to DIV and a subsequent loan from DIV to ACAS. The mechanism through which those loans were made at times, because of the press of the commerce and the nature of ACAS's business, needed to be done expediently. I would liken it to if one of us got a home equity loan to do some construction, and the bank made a direct advance to our subcontractor. Really what the bank is doing is making a loan to us and we're paying the subcontractor, but in certain circumstances those funds may flow directly over the borrower to the end user.
Was there any other type of business relationship between NGC and ACAS other than what you're describing as loans?
So no, Judge, there was not. There was no interaction between the businesses together, and there was no direct interaction, although funds did flow on occasion from NGC directly to either ACAS or its vendors.
Including Alliance.
Including Alliance, yes, Judge. Those funds were in fact loans that were made by DIV to ACAS and were funded by NGC in some instances. Now,
directly, correct, from NGC directly to Alliance on several occasions.
On some occasions, yes, Judge, funds were deposited directly from NGC to Alliance.
And to be clear, NGC and DIV are owned by the same person, Mr. Hernandez, isn't that right?
That's correct, Judge, they are. Now, there was no, I'm sorry.
Are there loan documents for those other transactions other than the ones from NGC?
Yes, if I understand your question correctly, Judge, there are loan documents which document all of the loans made from DIV to ACAS, promissory notes that are in the record. There are also in the record the records of the books and records of DIV and NGC evidencing the loans from NGC to DIV. And I think an important note here is that the loans from NGC to DIV, which in some circumstances were funded directly to ACAS vendors, including Alliance, were repaid, at least in part, and continue to be repaid by DIV to NGC, despite the fact that ACAS is, because of the bankruptcy that ACAS filed, no longer obligated on the loans, and ACAS being a defunct entity can no longer pay the loans in any event.
Back to whether there was any other business relationship, was there an employee, like the CFO perhaps, that had an office at ACAS?
So there was interaction between Mr. Volsky, Spencer Volsky, the CFO of DIV, of NGC, who also did work under separate employment agreement with DIV. His work at ACAS was on behalf of DIV as due diligence as a lender, making sure that funds that they were loaning were going to pay vendors that ACAS was saying that they were paying. Because as a lender, DIV had an interest in making sure that its borrower was using the funds in the way that it instructed DIV it was using the funds, and in order to make further credit decisions, whether or not credit would continue to be extended to ACAS or whether or not that credit relationship would terminate. Mr. Mapes, the owner of Alliance, testified at trial that in June of 2018, there was a crunch on payroll for ACAS, and there was a request that Alliance advance funds to cover ACAS payroll. In Mr. Mapes' testimony, he said that Mr. Hernandez and he had a conversation on the phone, and that Mr. Hernandez personally, or on behalf of NGC, promised to pay if Alliance funded the payroll. Mr. Mapes' testimony was that he believed that the entities of Mr. Hernandez were one and the same. Importantly, there was not a claim in this case for piercing the corporate veil, and nor was any other evidence adduced that the corporate veil should be pierced between NGC, DIV, Mr. Hernandez, or even ACAS. It was simply Mr. Mapes' belief that these entities were coextensive with Mr. Hernandez as their owner.
Does that have any bearing on the district court's application of the leading object rule exception to the statute of frauds?
I don't think it does, Judge, because whether or not Mr. Mapes believed that these entities were coextensive with their owner does not bear on whether or not there was a direct benefit that ran to NGC as a result of the alleged oral promise. Following the conversation between Mr. Mapes and Mr. Hernandez and pursuant to the payroll agreement between Alliance and ACAS, Alliance did fund around $180,000 in payroll. ACAS didn't repay, and subsequently Alliance sued NGC on the alleged oral guarantee. The trial court erred in applying the leading object exception in finding that the oral guarantee was enforceable. The leading object rule's application is dependent on a real and tangible benefit that runs to the guarantor. The leading object rule is an exception to the statute of frauds, and for that reason, it cannot be applicable in all circumstances. If it were, then it would swallow the rule in Nebraska Revised Statute 36202, which requires writing for guarantees of debts of another. As Williston highlighted in his Treaty on Contracts, the question is, in part, whether the consideration for the oral promise to be received by and become advantageous to the guarantor, or is it to be received by and become advantageous to another? The result reached by the trial court is just the sort of circuitous benefit that the Nebraska Supreme Court warned against in Christian versus Smith. Its broad application in this case would expand the leading object rule beyond the scope of which it's appropriate. NGC.
Christian versus Smith, the court concluded that there had, there was a leading object rule application.
That's absolutely correct, Judge. The court recited the standard, recited that there could not be simply a circuitous benefit to the guarantor. And in finding it, Judge, the court looked at the fact that the guarantor in that case was the owner of the entity for which he was requesting the cattle be provided. Here, what we have at best is NGC as a lender of DIV, which was a lender of ACAS. NGC may perhaps have received some benefit through loans that were made through the advance of payroll that was made by Alliance to ACAS, but it's not direct. It's not guaranteed. It's uncertain and undefined. That's why we require guarantees to be in writing, because there has to be some definitive nature to taking on an obligation to answer the debt of another. This uncertainty is the reason why we require writings. The uncertainty was on display in the trial testimony in this matter. Mr. Mapes testified that Mr. Hernandez personally guaranteed the ACAS obligation. He testified that NGC guaranteed the ACAS obligation, or perhaps it was DIV that guaranteed the ACAS obligation. What is required is that we have certainty and not ambiguity. That's why a circuitous benefit that doesn't flow directly to the guarantor doesn't implicate the leading object rule.
Well, the promise was made by Mr. Hernandez. I understand that there was a dispute over that, but the promise was made by Mr. Hernandez to Mr. Mapes over the phone, and the payment was made directly from NGC to Alliance, right?
In this case, Judge, and I see I'm out of time, but if I may answer your question. In this case, Judge, there were instances in which payments were made directly from NGC to Alliance. That is correct. In the instant case, the discussion and promise was made over the phone with regard to the advance of payroll, but no amount was ever actually funded from NGC to Alliance or to anyone else.
That's the problem.
That's why we're here, Judge. Yes. Right. Seeing that I'm out of time, I appreciate your time today, and we respectfully request that this court overturn the ruling of the district court and find that the leading object rule is not applicable in this case and that NGC is not liable to Alliance. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. White.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon. I would ask the court to carefully review what the pleadings and the evidence in the transcript are versus arguments that may have been made by the appellant in this case. The appellant has characterized the promise as a guarantee. But when the court reviews the language, there is absolutely no evidence of a guarantee promise. Mr. Mapes testified that he would not have advanced that money if they said, I guarantee ACAS will be it, or I'll get the money to ACAS. Wouldn't have done it because he knew they had debts. Mr. Mapes said, Mr. Hernandez directly told me, I will get you paid. And there was a history for that. The course of dealing between these parties on four occasions directly with ACAS and Alliance, several hundred thousand dollars on one occasion, large amounts of money were directly paid by NGC into Alliance's bank account. At no time did anybody say anything about DIV loans or anything. Mr. Mapes was absolutely clear. And you can look at Mr. Hernandez's testimony. At no time does he ever say, I will guarantee ACAS will pay you. He kind of thinks maybe I told him I'd give him a loan. That was disputed by Mr. Mapes and the trial court. Having evaluated the course of conduct, the witness's demeanor, their ability to remember, believed Mr. Mapes. But you can go through the record in vain for anything that says, I will guarantee. I directly promised to pay you if you deliver goods to her. That is not a guarantee. That is at most a third-party beneficiary contract, but it is a direct promise to pay, and it's outside of the statute. So at the outset, we would submit to the court, look for any kind of language that even approaches guarantee, you'll find them. And that's
what's the best evidence in the record related to NGC or Mr. Hernandez's direct investment or interest in ACAS's survival?
Mr. Hernandez, NGC lost $5 million when ACAS went under. $5 million. Mr. Hernandez personally lost $1 million after all the tax benefits he could derive from that massive loss. And these are directives you can get right out of his pocket, right out of NGC's pocket.
So there was a direct interest in the sustainability of ACAS.
Absolutely. And it was a matter of discussion and testimony. At this point in time, what ACAS did was make stages for very popular large acts. I don't know them anymore, but the big ones.
Some concerts.
So, yeah, you know. And they had to, these stages would fold up and unfold and pack, and they needed extremely skilled computer-generated craftspeople. At the time this happened, as it is now, people with that skill were limited. Mr. Mapes was well aware of that. He employed, through his company, 25,000 people, roughly. And he talked about it. If they missed a payroll, if they missed one more payroll, those folks would have walked and had a job within 30 minutes at another place. And that would have been the end of ACAS.
When we look at Mr. Hernandez's personal loss, the $1 million, how can we tell that his personal promise, as Alliance claims it was not for his benefit as opposed to NGC's?
Because we can also look at NGC. NGC was the one that actually put the money up. DIV shows up for the first time long after this occurs. NGC, as far as Mr. Mapes knew and as far as what actually occurred, they were the bank. They always advanced the money. And Mr. Hernandez, when Mr. Mapes said, Mr. Hernandez said, I will get you paid, he understood it was personal. He also understood it was him speaking for NGC, because they had advanced the money, Judge, over and over again in the past. And they had paid the money directly to Alliance Group. So if Mr. Hernandez says, after you've had extensive history of it, I will get you paid, in one of his companies, wholly owned company, then pays you four times, it's reasonable to understand that he's speaking for himself and for NGC.
So those payments came from NGC, not DIV?
Yes, no payment ever came to Alliance that I'm aware of from DIV, certainly not regard to ACAS.
So it either came from ACAS or NGC?
The payments always came, yes, and ACAS had them, then they wouldn't talk to Mr. Hernandez. But when ACAS was short of money, the ACAS would go to Mr. Mapes, and Mr. Mapes and his people would talk to Mr. Hernandez. And if he made a direct promise that we will pay you directly, not give money to ACAS, Mr. Mapes was very clear. He knew they had a lot of debts. You could have poured money into ACAS, and that was no guarantee it would ever come back out to Alliance. It had to be a direct promise to pay. And that was the terms of the deal, and that was the course of conduct. And, of course, Judge Utepta watched. I mean, this was... this was a quintessential who's more credible, and unfortunately, Mr. Hernandez had a family issue, a son in the hospital under a lot of stress. He said the phone call occurred at night. He didn't have a memory. You can read it even in the transcript to discuss it. Well, Judge Utepta saw that. Who's consistent? Whose testimony it ties up with all the banking records? And all of those were there. Now, and you caught something that was very important as well. It's just not credible to say NGC had no benefit, had no business ties, which Mr. Hernandez repeatedly denied any business ties. And he gave them an NGC credit card with his name, issued in his name. And there is no evidence in the record that that was limited at all. No evidence at all of how it was limited.
His name or NGC's name?
His NGC corporate card. Okay, right. With... Justin Hernandez, president. That was the card. So beyond that, then you have their CFO of NGC is the person who has an office and full access for months of ACAS's books. To say there's no business relationship when somebody is literally going through your whole corporate accounts, it's not credible. And when all of this together is weighed with the deference that should be provided to the trial bench, the reasonable proposition we've submitted is that Judge Tepka's decision should be affirmed. Again, the difficulty is arguments seem to be being made through good counsel and aggressive counsel, but they don't fit with what was presented to the trial court. And I'd submit to this court that an appeal in that manner isn't an appropriate way to reverse a trial court. If the judge is going to be reversed, they should have a fair chance to have the information presented to them, have arguments made, briefs if they want it, and then it to be determined. But one of the bigger arguments they make, of course, here is the whole collateral estoppel issue, which isn't pled, much less mentioned anywhere in the record at any time, nor is there any evidence on that. And one of the things that's frustrating in that, again, it's these leaps on the record. Yes, it turns out Mr. Mapes didn't know it, but it turns out Alliance had another claim against ACAS for an unrelated matter. Mr. Mapes testified to that. He said, that $180,000, I don't know what the $103,000 was against ACAS. There are a lot of ways we could have raised it. One of them is post-bankruptcy services that they would have a claim. But we never been paid for this. I never made a claim against ACAS because this was an obligation owed to Alliance by NGC and Mr. Hernandez. They made the promise.
In this case, the money flowed from NGC to DIB, who then loaned it to ACAS, correct?
That's not correct, though, Your Honor. The money actually flows from NGC directly to Alliance.
I understand that piece for these transactions. But, I mean, generally speaking, in the business between NGC and ACAS, money flowed through DIV if it was going to go that way. I understand in this case it went directly to Alliance, but there were also loan documents between DIV and ACAS, which indicated that there could be some loan forgiveness in exchange for equity.
Yes.
Is there any evidence that that was ever exercised?
We have no inside knowledge, but Mr. Hernandez denied that. We took the position that was an equitable interest. Because obviously, if the company became very successful, it's worth more on an equitable level. One of the things that's been very concerning throughout this was Mr. Mapes had no idea DIV's involvement at all in this. Those documents also, if you look at the loan documents, they're undated. I've never seen loan documents that are undated. They're in the record. And none of that was ever disclosed. If you were a businessman in good faith in Mr. Mapes' shoes, what you would have seen is a long, very substantial history of promises made with direct payment by NGC to Alliance and nothing about DIV and ACAS. And so the reasonableness of his belief it was NGC is 100% consistent with the record and the court so found. I appreciate the court's courtesy today. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Mr. White. The case will be taken under submission. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments, and you are excused.